Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to our visitors this morning, and a special warm welcome to Charity, and thank you for leading our service this morning. Charity comes from Rockingham Road, so it's wonderful to have her here. Tuesday 7:30 is house group on the Sunday Zoom link, so please join us for that. I've missed a couple of weeks because of being yuck, but it is fantastic and I have missed it and I can't wait to get back. Wednesday, 10 a.m. coffee morning in the church. Today is the last day for items for the November newsletter, so please let Keith have anything for that. Next Sunday, a service will be taken by Nathan Toseland and will be followed by a bring and share lunch and shoebox packing. Everybody is welcome, so please come along. That's usually quite good fun as well. So thank you very much. And now over to you, Charity.
Trying to find my order of service on the phone. Good morning, church. Thank you ever so much for having me this morning. And I look forward to worshipping with you this morning. Thank you. Shall we open with a word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for this privilege to come before you this morning. Father, we ask that your presence will take over the service of this day, and that you will guide us, you will lead us, and you direct us in this service. Lord, we submit our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls to you. We ask very, Father God, that in our midst, you would do that which you alone can do as we share your word, as we encourage one another, as we speak your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so to start with, we need our first hymn for the day, please. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I had to work with Sandra on the hymns because she knows them better than I do. Thank you, Sandra. So should we all, those that can, they can rise. And if you cannot rise, feel free to take a seat as we sing today. Thank you. Thank you. And today I thought we could share a psalm. Thank you. And today I thought we could share a psalm of David. And in Psalm 86 that we will share in our midst this morning, it said it is a prayer of David. And when I did my research, it does not say that it was a specific prayer that David was making, or whether some researchers have gone on to say, was he sick? Was David sick? Was he praying for healing? Was he praying, or was it just a thanksgiving prayer to the Lord? Or was David in the midst of a certain trial or tribulation that he was going through that he sought the Lord in writing Psalm 86 that has been entitled A Prayer to David? Let us read Psalm 86. It says, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O God. For I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O God, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart." I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness. Verse 17 and the last verse. He says, give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So we see there that this is a psalm where this really, it's what I would call a mixed bag of prayer. He was praying for everything. Sometimes we face battles in this life. Sometimes we are attacked knowingly, unknowingly. Sometimes things happen in our lives. We are sick. Sometimes we are in lack. But he just touched every area. And there was also, we see in this prayer of David, there was adoration. There was thanksgiving to the Lord. And that's what we should do as Christians in this day and age. Shall we sing our second hymn? Father, I place into your hands. Thank you, and you may take your seats. Father, I want to hear your voice. Thank you, and you may take your seats. Father, I want to hear your voice. I want to speak the words that you speak. This morning we are going to talk about the power of prayer. And I wanted to find out from you, what is prayer? In your own words, what is prayer? Let's hear from you. It's open to all of us. Having conversation with God. Thank you. What is prayer?
Seeking
God. Thank you. What is prayer? It is a petition to God. Thank you. What is prayer? Praising God. Sorry. Thanking God. Thank you. I love all this. And we cannot sit there and say, oh, he gave me the right answer and she did not. Because all these make prayer. And some will say, as we read the Bible, some people have made different types of prayers that we are going to briefly share about, and then we can all go and research on our own because in the interest of time. And so some have said, if we look at a life that we are going to refer to later on as we share the word today, there's a life that says prayer is pouring out their soul unto God. And I believe prayer is a conversation with God. It's communication with God. And as we stand here and talk about prayer, we need to remember that all the other religions out there, they also do talk about prayer. I remember I had a friend who was, she was a Muslim. And each time we were around her place, if it's just after the sun is setting, she would excuse herself. Charity, I'll be right back. I just need to go and make a prayer. And she would go and make a prayer and come back. And we always used to exchange notes on prayer. So what do you pray about? And I would talk. And then eventually, I never went and pressed her about my faith in God, my Christian faith. But each time I left her house, I would always pray and say, Lord, reveal yourself to her through me. That was the prayer I made to God. And I remember one day she was going through a rough patch. She came to me and said to me, can you pray to your God about ABCD that I'm going through? Can you pray to your God? So she needed prayer from my God. But I never asked her a single day if I would pray for her. But she came because I was praying behind the scenes. So there are some prayers that we can make, you know, in front of people. There are prayers that we can make together. There are prayers that you can make on your own. There are prayers that you can make without even opening your mouth. There are prayers that you can make whilst walking. I do a lot of prayer walking. I love to prayer walk. And there are prayers that you can make whilst driving. When I was in Africa, when things are happening, I would take a lot of, I'll just jump in the car and just go and drive. I don't even know where I'm going, but I'm just praying. I'd call it a prayer drive and just go and pray. But by the time I come back, I would be feeling different. So today we are going to talk about prayer. And our main reading is coming from Luke chapter number 11, from verse 1-5. Here we see the disciples come to Jesus asking to be taught how to pray. So it says in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 11, Jesus' teaching on prayer is the heading. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. We'll leave it there. I think we should have left it in verse number 4. But I grew up in, I went to Christian schools, I think all the way when I look back, from primary school to high school to everything was Christian schools, really. And we had our assembly every morning. And at the morning assembly, we had to say the Lord's Prayer every single day. And so the prayer was implanted in our hearts without knowing, without understanding what it meant. As a little girl, I would say the Lord's Prayer every single day without realizing what I was saying. And it went further than this. If we all remember, we can all say it together. We used to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And in that prayer, we are praying for divine intervention of the Lord against temptations that we face each and every day. We all face temptations each and every day. In that prayer, we are praying for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. In that prayer, we are asking for God to forgive us for those wrongs we have done against another, knowingly and unknowingly, our brethren that we interact with every day in the home, in the church, on the streets, in the shops. We are saying, forgive us for the sins we have committed. And help us to forgive our brethren as you also forgive us. We are coming to the Lord with a heart that is open and saying, Lord, let your will be done on earth where we are living, where there's so much darkness. Lord, let your will be done in our world where there's hatred and strife. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is there in heaven. And we will go through times when we will question, but where is God in this? But even in those times, my dear brethren, I beg of you that it is in those times that we still have to seek the Lord in prayer. And prayer is not always, I was preaching the other day, I was saying to somebody, we were sharing, and I was saying, she was saying, oh, sometimes I struggle to pray. How come you always? And I said, because it's not always going there. I think it's only once in the Bible where we're seeing Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is kneeling down and praying, Father, if possible, take this cup away from me. But in the rest of the times, wherever Jesus went in the Bible, he prayed. But even as he prayed, sometimes he's just standing there. He's just walking. We see him when he saw the widow of Nain with her son being taken for burial. He just sees the son, this commotion, the funeral, and he's filled with compassion. Compassion will compel us to pray for the other person. Compassion will compel us to pray for the nations. Compassion will compel us to pray for the church of God, the body of Christ. Compassion, if we are filled with compassion that Jesus had, we will be praying for the sick, even though nobody has told you, you know anybody that is sick. You find yourself praying for the sick. I love prayer with all my heart, and I love to pray for anything and everything. I have a best friend. And we always say, we call each other iron. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the other. Proverbs 27:17 is where we've taken that from. And we love to pray, and we always say we pray for anything and everything. And so sometimes we can just meet up. Oh, she's away now, she's in Africa. We can just call each other and come on the phone and literally just pray as the Spirit leads, we say. For anything, any topic, we'll just pray. And we have seen answers come through. And so I urge us to be a people of prayer. The disciples, I can see this disciple, this one disciple coming to Jesus and saying, teach us how to pray, like John taught his disciples. Because they had seen Jesus was a man of prayer. Wherever they went, they saw Jesus praying. Jesus was always constantly in prayer. And we hear that sometimes he would seclude himself and go away in a place of solitude to pray. I love to do that also a lot. And I did find a spot when I was in Africa where I used to go alone and just spend some time in prayer and come back renewed, revitalized. I would feel much more closer to God alone in prayer. And then I would come back and also meet up with my brethren in church, in a prayer meeting, in a cell group that I was leading, and come together and pray and seek the face of God and watch God answer those prayers one by one in his time. Because the word says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. So sometimes we are in a rush. We want it now, now, now. But the Bible says in his time, God will make all things beautiful. And so there are two acronyms that I have heard on prayer. And when we pray, we must pray. Let's not say we must pray. Sometimes you just pray as you're led. But there is the prayer of Acts, where A stands for adoration. When you pray, you can do a prayer of adoration unto the Lord sometimes. I love that sometimes when I'm cleaning the house, and sometimes when I'm cooking in the kitchen, and I just love to just adore the Lord and just tell him how special he has been, and count my blessings and say, Lord, I know it is through your grace that I have come this far. I know it is through your mercy that I made it that time, Lord. And so I just come with thanksgiving. And so there's also a prayer of thanksgiving that one can make if you follow the Acts. There's confession that you can make. You know you have missed the mark. And we all, as we often do, living here on earth, no one is perfect. We miss the mark every now and again. And we go back to the Lord and in prayer, with a prayer of confession, and say, Lord, like David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. Cleanse me with hyssop, that I may be whiter than snow. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. But when the prophet had come to him and reminded him of what he had done and brought him to that truth of the sin he had committed before the Lord, David went back to the Lord in confession with Psalm 51 and says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. We have to be a people that come to God in prayer when we realize we have missed the mark, a prayer of confession, a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life this morning that you've given us, that we've been able to come together and worship you. Thank you for the freedom of worship that we have in this country, that we can come in this place and worship you freely in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the roof over our heads, the houses that we're living in. Thank you, Lord, for the car that you've blessed us with, those of you that are driving. Thank you for the children, the grandchildren. I am a mother of two and a grandmother of two as well. And I enjoy having my grandchildren come over and cook for them. And I don't take this for granted. I go to the Lord in prayer and I say, Lord, I want to thank you for my grandchildren. for the love that we have in our midst. I thank you, Lord, for my neighbors, even though I don't know some of them. But I thank you that they are there. I'm living in a community of people. I'm thanking you, Lord, for the job that I have. Thank you, Lord, for that you kept me working until retirement time when I retired. I thank you, Lord, that I have a pension. I thank you, Lord, that I have food on my table. As I pray, give us, we heard in the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We must be grateful to God. A prayer of thanksgiving. And then there's the prayer of supplication. Where then you make your requests known unto the Lord in faith. And the other acronym that we use a lot, me and my best friend, my iron friend, was PUSH. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. And we would push. I remember once she called me and she said her cousin was taken ill. And he had had a brain aneurysm. And he had been flown from Malawi to India for treatment. We looked at I knew this young man as being fit and walking about and doing all these things. And suddenly the picture she sent me of him, his head was swollen, his face was swollen. He was wheelchair bound. He could not speak, just falling on one side. And his wife had flown with him to India. As soon as I saw that picture, my heart was filled with so much compassion for the young man. And I remember I said to my iron friend, I said, "Iron, we are going to pray until something happens here. This is not an ordinary prayer we are going to make here. We will pray until something happens. And we would pray. And we would wake each other up at 12 in the morning, 12 a.m., and pray. I would call her and she would leave her bedroom and go to the lounge and pray with me on the phone around 3 in the morning. Whenever she would even call me at 1 in the morning, I'd say, it's time to pray. And we prayed for the young man until about, it looked like the more we prayed, the more he got worse. And I remember he had to have about 3 or 4 surgeries. But we continued to pray. We were not moved. Until one day she said to me, "You're never going to believe," after about 2 months. She said, the wife decided she didn't want to share with us anymore the progress. But here is the man we have been praying for. And he was standing in the corridors of the hospital alone, not in a wheelchair, back to normal. And they were saying the doctors had kept him for the last 2 weeks to just observe if he was fully recovered to return back to Malawi. And then they sent him back and he came back. And oh boy, how marvelous it is when you see that God answers prayer. How enjoyable. I love to see a prayer that has been answered by God, an answer from God when we pray. And I know even as we sit here today, some of us are going through stuff. We have situations around us, some that we can go into, some we cannot even share with anybody around us. But God in heaven is ready to hear our prayer even today. And so we pray until something happens. That's the stubborn prayer of prayer warriors. And then there's a prayer of adoration. There's a prayer of confession, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of supplication that we can make at any time of our lives. Shall we sing? We are going to make a prayer and before we go, and soon after this prayer of intercession, we'll go into our third hymn, which is hymn number 506, yes. You have to forgive me when it comes to that. The next one. Okay. So we'll go into a time of prayer. I want us to do a prayer of intercession. And if there's anybody in our midst today, you've come to church and you're not feeling well today, and you're wondering what is going to happen with this, I've had a lady in the last 2 weeks in London, in St. Thomas Hospital. She had a surgery that went wrong. And the complications of the surgery started something else, and she was bedbound. She's been in that hospital for 6 weeks. And her friend called me and said, shall we stand in prayer for Joyce? She's not feeling well. This is what happened. And now she's lost all the weight on her body. She's there like a skeleton on the bed. And we've been praying for Joyce. We've been praying for Joyce, trusting God. Because where there is prayer, there has to be faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And now Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the more we seek God in prayer, we have to go in faith. We must believe that he is able to answer. We must believe that even though I don't get my answer now, with that troublesome child in my home, with a financial lack that is going on in my bank account right now, but I trust and believe, and I have faith that, Lord, you will provide my every need according to your abundant riches in glory. I trust and believe, Lord, even though I'm working on this hard project, even though I have all these hospital tests lined up for me, I trust that you are able to pull me through, because your word says you are, Lord, you are a refuge from the storms of this life. You are my present help in times of trouble. Lord, you have told me in your word that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So sometimes it is best to quote the word and take it back to him in prayer and say, Lord, you have said, Lord, you have said A, B, C, D, because his promises are yes and amen. So we want to pray. Wherever you are right now, whatever you're going through, I beg you to open your heart to the Lord. Whether you've been praying for it for so long and nothing has changed, but I've been praying for this child of mine. I've been praying for my marriage. I've been praying for my daughter's marriage. I've been praying for that and nothing seems to change. I'm tired of it. We get there. I have gotten there before. But if we head in that psalm, the prayer of David in Psalm 86, there was a place where he says, give me a sign of your goodness. Many a times I've gone to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, give me a sign of your goodness that you're still with me right now, because it doesn't feel like it now. But Lord, please give me that sign. I just need a sign. And before long, he will answer in his time, in his way. You're here today. I'm saying all these things to encourage us that God is still in the business of answering prayer. But I've been struggling with this, Lord, for so long. I've been struggling with pride. I'm struggling with this depression. I'm struggling with, I don't want to do this, but I keep doing it. Today, I want you to open your heart to the Lord as we pray. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you with open hearts this morning. And we say, Heavenly Father, have your way in and through us. There is a lot of things that are going on in this life, Lord. In our midst, there are some that are struggling with addictions. In our midst, there are some that are struggling with the spirit of oppression and depression. In our midst, there are some, Heavenly Father, that are struggling with pride. There are some that are struggling, Heavenly Father, maybe with adultery. Maybe some are struggling with lack. There's so much lack in their life that they don't see any way out. Debts are piling up. Some are struggling with health, with their health, Lord. Some are struggling with just, there's so much maybe hatred in their family, confusion, division in the families. division even in the churches sometimes. But we come to you, Heavenly Father, with open hearts. And we ask of you, Almighty God, to step in and take over and take full control and take center stage in every area of our lives. Father, we submit to you our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls. And we ask that you bring change where there's need for change in us. We ask that you bring healing where there's need for healing in our lives. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you bring transformation where we need transformation in our lives. And that, Lord, you will set us free where we need freedom in our lives. Set us free from the captivity of the enemy. Open our spiritual eyes, Heavenly Father, that we begin to see things and people your way. Open our spiritual ears, mighty God, that we may hear your voice. And most importantly, that we may follow your voice in this day and age. That we may resist the devil so he may flee from us. That we may draw near to you, Lord, as you draw near to us. Help us in our weaknesses, Father, we pray, as we commit all the nations in your hands, as we commit the world leaders in your hands, as we commit, Heavenly Father, the body of Christ worldwide in your hands, as we pray for those that are sick, that are in hunger, in poverty, in the war-torn countries, as we pray for those that are struggling with human trafficking, they are trapped, the refugees, those in prisons and detention centers all over the world, we bring them before you, Lord, and we ask, Heavenly Father, for your hand of mercy to be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we'll sing our third hymn. Oh, Lord, my God, when I'm in awesome wonder.
I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, I come to clouds, the universe is made. And sings my soul, the Savior goes to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, the Savior goes to me.
Oh, thank you. We praise the Lord, and you may take a seat. Oh, thank you. We praise the Lord, and you may take a seat. I want us to share in the Bible and about the lady in St. Thomas Hospital. Yesterday, she was able to go into the chapel in the hospital to just sit there and pray. And she sent a message to say, I walked to the chapel today to just sit there and pray. And that is a great miracle that we have seen in answer to the prayers we've been making. Shall we share on two characters of the Bible before we close? They challenge me in their prayer life, these two. There's a man called Nehemiah in the Bible. I'm sure we've heard of him, some of us. How many of us have heard of Nehemiah? I love the man called Nehemiah. He was sent to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, where he came from. But before he heard very distressing news about the land, about what had happened to his land, and he was in a very good place. He had a very good job. He had a very good life. He was a cupbearer to the king. And so the cupbearer would go and test the drink before giving to the king, make sure there's no poison in the drink. So it was a job that kept him close to the king. So he was somebody that was really close to the king. So it was a very good job, a high job. And Nehemiah hears about the ruins of the land of Jerusalem. And he was troubled. But before he could do anything, he sought the Lord in prayer. And this is the prayer he made to the Lord. He says, in the month of, let's start from verse number 5. Then I said, after he had heard all these things, he sat down and wept. For some days he mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then he said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We see confession there. We see adoration to start with. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to a place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And we know the story goes, he went and asked for, he was just serving the king, and the king noticed there was something about his face and asked him what was wrong. And long story short, he was sent with a lot of things, including letters that would help him on the way to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But what I like about this man is, in the task that was before him, he met so many challenges. But for each challenge that came his way, he prayed to the Lord. The temptations that he got, in that when he got back to the land, he was raised to a place of honor again, where people used to get bribes from the poor people were made to put things together to give to these rich men who were in the government. And Nehemiah was one of them. But he refused to take anything from the poor people. And so he constantly, in every chapter, almost every chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you find Nehemiah praying to the Lord a short prayer. After this long prayer, all the other prayers he made were very short. He was just saying, remember me, O Lord, for what I have done for these people. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. So sometimes the only prayer we can say to the Lord is, remember me, O Lord. I am Sandra who plays at Cary Memorial Baptist Church. Remember me, O Lord, for my commitment to you. Remember me, O Lord. I've never missed a single Sunday service in church. Remember me, O Lord, is all you can say sometimes. And I know there are sometimes when I've just sat there and said, remember me, O Lord. So maybe you're sitting here today and you're up to your ear, to your head, and you're like, where do I go from here? Maybe all you can say is, remember me, O Lord, like Nehemiah did. Another one that challenges my prayer life is a woman called Hannah. Hannah. Hannah was a woman of prayer. And she was barren. And she was going through stuff. In the book of 1 Samuel, we see about Hannah. She was mocked. She was called names by Penina, the other wife of her husband. But we see Hannah praying to the Lord. And I'll just read from, in the interest of time, I won't read the whole where I was going to read. I'll just read a little bit there. It says in verse number 10, in bitter 1 Samuel 1, verse number 10, it says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. So sometimes prayer is pouring out your soul to the Lord. She says, I am a woman in deep pain. I'm deeply troubled. I am a man who is deeply troubled. Maybe there's a man in here that is in deeply troubled. Maybe we have women in here that are deeply troubled. And all we need to do is to pour out our hearts to the Lord. So he says, I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for your wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Go in peace, Eli answered, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. I like that about Eli. He didn't come to her and say, what is it that you're praying for? Sometimes I've found myself in that uncomfortable space where somebody, I'm not comfortable to share that which is troubling me in that moment. And somebody comes and puts me in a corner. What is it that you want us to pray for you for? And I'm like, I'm not comfortable just yet to share. But here we see that God knew and Eli respected that boundary. So where there is prayer, there has to be boundaries respected with people. It is okay, even if you came to me today and just say, Charity, I need prayer. I know God knows what it is that you need prayer for. And all I'll do is just hold your hand, if need be, or just sit next to you. Or stand with you and just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know whatever it is he's going through, what she is going through. And today we just ask for you, for your intervention. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace, your favor. And that's all. That is enough. And that's what Eli did. And we know that the same woman that was mocked and ridiculed, she was put through shame and reproach. She got the son that she had promised to the Lord, Samuel, and gave him to the Lord, to Eli, to serve in the temple for the rest of his life. But God saw that commitment of her and blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 more daughters, 2 daughters. So in total, Hannah had 6 kids. 4 boys and 2 girls. Because of she relied on prayer. We are here today and we're saying, but Charity, I have given up. But Charity, I have committed sin. We've heard of Nehemiah repenting on behalf of his own family, his own life, his own, you know, generations. Sometimes we have to stand and repent for our society, for our community that we're living in. I live in Wellingborough. Sometimes I find myself walking and say, Lord, I just pray for the sins of this town, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, and just find mercy for us. I'm walking in Kettering. I'll be praying for the people of Kettering that do not even know I exist. I'm walking. I'll find myself at the hospital. I'm just praying for everyone there as I walk through the corridors. As I was coming here on the bus, I was on the bus and I heard 2 people coughing on the bus. It was really deep coughs. And I said, Lord, can you just touch them and heal them in my heart as I sat there? Everywhere we are, there's an opportunity for prayer. Everywhere we are. So today, I'm going to ask, even as we sit here, before we close and sing our last hymn, I want 1 or 2 people to just voice out a prayer for someone else and not yourself. Even someone that you do not know about, anything that is being pressed on your heart right now to pray for, I want us to pray. I need 1 or 2 people to just give out a prayer, please. And then we'll sing our last hymn. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Do you see something that I'm seeing? It's when we start to pray, the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us on different other areas that we can pray for. And I promise you, church, we can be here all day and we still won't run out of things to pray for. But in the interest of time, shall we sing our closing hymn? And we can continue to pray in our hearts. We can continue to pray in our homes as we drive back home. Take time to pray. Take my life and let it be. Closing hymn. Shall we rise? Thank you. we shall say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. And we shall say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much once again for having me. And thank you for the familiar faces I see.